Thanks, Adam. Our scripture today comes from the 18th chapter of Matthew, verses 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times. But I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children, and all his possessions, and payment be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me. I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, said, 'Pay me what you owe.' Then this fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and reported to the lord all that had taken place. Then this lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I have mercy on you?' And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So much going on. I think Peter gets bad press here. Peter comes up and he says, "How many times shall I forgive? As many as seven times?" And what you might not be aware of is at the Jewish custom, it would be two, perhaps even three. So Peter's throwing out, well, double it, add one. The Lord's number is seven. Why not go for seven? Seven sounds like a good number. But Jesus is trying to get at the root of the problem. And he says 70 times seven. And then he tells a parable. And the parable is difficult for us to understand because the numbers don't have an impact to us. But the way I heard this preached, I believe it was by Max Lucado, he was talking about, think about it as how many months' pay this would be. And he says the person who was 100 denarii is about 4 months' pay. Now, 400 denarii, 4 months' pay, you've dug yourself a hole. You know, if your credit card comes and you look at it and it's four times what you make in a month, that's a hole. But it's possible. What's harder to understand is 10,000 talents he projected to be roughly, give or take, 390 years salary. You're never getting out of that. One, you don't want to work for 390 years. Second, you're not going to live that many years. It's a debt you cannot pay. And yet, it's the person who has the debt that cannot be paid that is forgiven. And the person who is in a bad spot, who's held accountable. I like the fact that it's a parable and these people don't really exist. Because I don't like what the Lord does at the end of this. He tortured him until he could pay his debt. See, the key phrase is the last line because that's the reason Jesus told the story. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Forgiving your brother and sister from your heart is the rest of the story. See, I think that is what we're going through during the season of Lent is looking in the mirror and trying to figure out what work is left to do. Forgiving people is hard. And we can deal with it in different ways, can't we? One of the things that I found entertaining is I am certified as a relationship counselor. I went and saw seminars with Gary Smalley. And Gary Smalley was talking about the difference between mothers and fathers and things that you don't realize you're teaching when you're teaching them. One day, a little boy is going to school with his mom. And he says, "Mom, where are all the stupid morons today?" He says, "What?" He says, "Every day when we go, there's at least 5 stupid morons before we get to school." Because Dad called them out for what they were. They were stupid morons who turn right from the left lane, who don't run the yellow to make the left-hand turn, who signal or don't signal, or whatever else happens. See, the hard thing is that we just say it and we move on and we don't really forgive them. We forget them. And that's not the same. One of the things that I hold fast is that some days you're the stupid moron because you didn't see the sign or you don't know where you're going. And it's your turn. And somebody in the car around you is screaming at you. And that forgiveness somehow comes easier to the surface. The other thing that happens is we just move on. A week or so ago, I talked about, I think I should just hand out little round tuits. Because, you know, it's not that we don't want to, we'll get around to it later. And we just let it fester. We let it stick and we let it collect in us. I don't know how many of you have done first aid, but what happens if you have a scratch, a fall, a sliver, piece of metal that sticks in your skin? And you say, "Well, I'm not going to take it out now. I'll get around to it later." Does it get better or does it get worse? I was working with steel wool and didn't realize I'd stuck a piece of steel wool into my thumb. I figured it out the next morning. There was this puffy spot and some discharge behind it that I had to deal with because I didn't deal with it when it happened. Folks, don't let that happen. Don't let it fester. Don't let it go. Forgive your brother or sister from your heart. See, we just prayed the Lord's Prayer and we said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And we just let those words roll off our tongue until we have somebody we need to forgive before we have someone who's trespassed against us. I mean, they really screwed up. I mean, we have witnesses. We have video. They were morons. That means we don't have to forgive them, right? Sorry. Wrong. It isn't that they haven't offended you. It isn't that they haven't trespassed. It isn't that they weren't wrong. You're supposed to forgive them anyway. Because they're the ones who owe you 100 denarii. And Jesus is the one who's forgiven your 10,000 talents. Jesus says, I'm going to forgive everything you've done in your life that disappoints me, grieves me, or offends me. I'm going to forgive everything you're still going to do. When I was a kid, one of my favorite prayers was, Lord, forgive me for what I'm about to do. I knew it was wrong, but it was fun, and it was right there. But Lord, forgave that. And because he forgave that, I have to forgive them, even though they were wrong. And it's hard. I think it was John Ricardo who said, they didn't write the Lord's Prayer for when things were going well. The Lord gave us the Lord's Prayer for when we had someone to forgive, when somebody really did us wrong or bad. If you think about it, you can pick up someone from your past who did you wrong, who lied about you, who left you holding the bag, who pinned the blame on you when you had nothing to do with it, who fill in the blank. Did you forget or did you forgive? Did you let it go and say, I'll get around to it some other time? Or is there still a piece of that inside you? Because I think what we're looking at is what God wants to give you. I like to think of it as, you know, we need water, we need blessings. It's like God has a fire hose headed our way. And we park the car on it. So sometimes little bits dribble out, and we get little pieces, but we don't get everything God has to give us. It sounds funny to say we park a car at it, but there's things we do to shut it off. We say, well, I've really not been that great, but if you could just bless me a little bit, that'd be great. I know I don't deserve it, just a drop or two. Or sometimes we just get mad at God, and we don't want to hear from him, even though he's the one with the M&Ms. And then sometimes it's about being in charge and who's in control. Have you ever tried to control a fire hose? It's not easy. The best way to do it is to stretch it out to its full length, point it where you want it to go, and then turn it on. Because if you think you're going to move it once it's on, you're probably mistaken. It takes a lot of training, and you got to have some luck involved. You have to want to go in the direction the water's going. I've used the analogy of sailing. When you sail, The main sheet is the rope that's attached to the sail, and it gives you the control. The harder you pull it, the faster you go. The faster you go, sometimes, depending on the wind, the more you lean over. If you want to slow down, if you want to go back to flat, you got to let go of the rope. You can't push the side of the boat down. You can't lean against it. The wind and the water win every time. And we don't think the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit wins every time. And it's like a fire hose of blessings that God wants to turn our direction. But how does the flow go? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. You harbor resentments, you harden your heart, you try to run away, you try to keep these things at arm's length, you try to keep control of your own life, and God goes, well, I'm trying to force it through, but this is all you're getting on your end. Long time ago, I heard a story about the kingdom of heaven and coming to the gates where St. Peter greets you. And we always have an idea that it's the person we love most that comes to the gate. And I believe it was Timothy Keller who said, no, it's the person that you haven't forgiven yet. And when you meet them at the gates, you have to empty yourself and forgive them. And then they turn around and bring you in and introduce you to all the people that you've been waiting to meet. But first, before God can flood you with blessings, flood you with forgiveness, flood you with grace, you come back to that simple prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And when we do, the fire hose is opened, the blessings start to flow, and we can barely keep up. But during this Lenten season, can you think of one or two things that might be hampering that flow? It's time to let it go so God can let it flow. I was going to play the Disney song, but I thought that was a little too cheesy. But if you let it flow, God will bless you beyond what you understand. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come before you today, we acknowledge that we like being in control. We think we've done well when we let the trespasses slip by us without forgiving them. But help us understand that in our relationship with you, that those things that we leave unresolved aren't left behind, but they're between you and I. Help us to address each of them and clear them away so that we might see you face to face and feel your blessings flow. And all God's people said,